So now we're discussing some points from the Art of Chanting book. This is chapter 10, Yogic Techniques of Concentration, Qualification to Hear. And we heard how Prabhupada said, just hear the holy name, don't worry about your mind. And then we described how it may not be so easy to do that. And then we described something from the from the yoga school about how to keep the mind fixed. Potentially gave us the idea of the secret for controlling the mind is to, it's called opposite thinking process. Bad thought comes in the mind, then replace it with a good thought. Now we're going to give an actual technique, because it is techniques, yoga techniques for concentration. So the biggest offense against the holy name is inattention. To be inattentive while chanting the holy name. So that means, inattention means lack of attention, lack of concentration. Inability to concentrate, inability to focus, inability to stay with the name. We're chanting Hare Krishna and the mind is going, or hearing something else, or even speaking sometimes something else. We're chanting Hare Krishna, then we stop chanting to speak in some gossip or speak to someone. We break the chanting. The phone rings. 12th offense against the holy name. 12th offense, we leave the cell phone on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh. Hello? Yeah? Hare Krishna. Or we turn it on silent and then but then messages come. Bing. Oh. Okay, I can do this. I can check this message with my left hand and chant japa with my right hand. That's two offenses in one. That's the 11th offense, inattention. And it's a 12th offense, leaving your cell phone on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Acha. Oh, Hare Krishna. Oh, it's Krishna. So Krishna says, "Oh, you want Nokia Prem or Krishna Prem? What do you want? Nokia Nod or Venu Nod?" You want to dance to the tune of the Venu, it's called Venu Nod. You want to dance to the tune of the Nokia, it's called Nokia Nod. I see people dance, they run, with one earring here, and one earring on one ear, and the lower part of their dress on the lower part and the upper part. Just like the gopis, when the gopis heard the Murli Nod, or the Venu Nod, they heard Krishna's flute. Then they oh, did you hear that? Oh, Krishna's calling me. That's my number, 987-108. 984-705-108, that's my number. And then another one, 987-107, oh, that's me, Lalita, oh, that's Vishaka. Beep, 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 ding 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 ding. And then they all run out, and they run out to the forest, and they dance with Krishna. And they run in such haste and such enthusiasm and anxiousness to meet Krishna. They only have one earring on, or their red lipstick they put on top of their eyes. They put their black cudgel on their lips. So her lips are black and her eyes are red. And look like they got a black eye or something. Eyes are black and they get it all upside down. And they put the top part of the dress on the bottom part of the dress on the top. They run out to meet Krishna. So the same thing, I'm sitting sometimes in Radhakund giving class and someone's phone, maybe it goes on silent, because it's very interesting. When you read the description of Braj Leela, when Krishna would call the gopis at night, This would be in Nisha Leela. It's called Nakta or Nisha Leela. Nisha Leela is from 10:48 at night until 3:36 in the morning. This is the time of the Rasa dance and many, many wonderful nocturnal pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. Krishna would play his Murli in such a way. Murli is a flute that's 1 meter long. It's quite long. And being long, it has a very low pitch. Ooh. So Krishna would play this flute, and no one in Braj could hear it. The cows could not hear it, the calves could not hear it, the deer could not hear it, the mother-in-laws could not hear it. None of the mother-in-laws could hear it, the father-in-laws could not hear it, the brothers could not hear it. No one could hear it except the gopis. It was subliminal sound vibration. was heart from Krishna's heart. Krishna was putting his heart into the flute and sending the melody of his heart. It's the heart rag, ridhi rag. There's mala rag. There's so many different ragas. Svasant rag. So he's sending the rag, the melody of his heart. It's coming out of the flute, and it's going in the ears of individual gopis. He's putting his rag for Radharani is going out, and only Radharani is hearing it. No one else is hearing it. And as soon as she hears the flute, she responds immediately by running. So this is what's going on in the spiritual world, Krishna Leela. So it's very interesting that the same phenomenon in a similar way is going on. I'm sitting in class, I'm giving class in Radhakund. There's some devotees there from Delhi or whatever. And they have their phones. No one can hear it. Like, no one can hear Krishna's flute except the gopis. So no one hears your phone except you. It's in your pocket and goes, whoa, whoa. It's on silent. And then you jump up and run out of the room and go outside in the veranda or out in the yard somewhere. Hello? Huh? Hello? So I've seen that. I said, oh, look, the Krishna's calling the gopis. He's calling each individual gopi, each individual gopa. They jump up and they run out to attend their Nokia nod. So it's a very good udipan for remembering Krishna Leela. The people are just sitting there, just calm, and it's like there's Radharani, the gopis are sitting with their mother-in-laws and father-in-laws. All of a sudden, they jump up and they run ahead. And you see in the 10th canto, they're saying, where are you going? Where are you going? And their mother-in-laws and brothers try to stop them. Where are you going? So I'm sitting there in class, and somebody jumps up and runs out. And I said, where is she going? And then they say, oh, she must be a telephone call. She got the call of Nokia. Nokia called her. And she's running. And she only has one earring on. She's half-dressed. And people do that also. They're getting dressed. Oh, where's my phone? And they run and they look all around the room. Where's my phone? And they get their phone. They have one earring here, there. Hello. It's really madness. But people have gone so crazy. I walked on the beach this evening, and these guys are playing cricket. And I walked on the beach in 77. I came here in 77, and first time I came. And many times I've been on that beach, Prabhupada's beach. You call Juhu, we call it Prabhupada Beach. You call it Juhu Beach, we call it Prabhupada Beach. It's a holy tirtha. His dust of his feet are there, and that sand, if you walk there, you become purified. Wherever the pure devotee walks, it becomes a tirth. You say tirth or tirtha. It's not sand, it's Prabhupada Raj. Raj means the dust from his feet. It's an extraordinary place. And my mind just floods with memories of Prabhupada when I walk there. I was walking there the other morning and I saw a plane went like this. There's, you know, so many planes they shoot off up there when you walk that way. They're just going vroom like this. They're really going climbing too. They're really going upward, which inspires me too. Yeah, I want to go like that too. I want to make advancement like, because eventually the plane goes like this, but when they're taking off, they're like this. And that's what you see when you walk along Juhu Beach. They're going like, just like this. Into the sky, like 45-degree angle. They're going serious progress, serious elevation. So I think, yes, I want to make serious progress like that. I want to rise in devotion like that also. Of course, I'm going like this. But once Prabhupada was walking on the beach and he saw the jet plane was rising like that. And Prabhupada said, that plane, he said, he was with some, maybe Giriraj or whatever, he said, see that plane? He pointed his cane. That plane is going to Hyderabad. That jet is going to Hyderabad. And the devotee said, no, Prabhupada, see that flight, that plane is it's going to Calcutta. It's because Hyderabad is this way and Calcutta a different way. He said, no, and Prabhupada said very definitively, it's going to Hyderabad. Then when he said that, the plane went, the plane was going like this, and then it just took a right turn. And the devotee said, Jai Gurudev. The plane is going to Hyderabad. And another time I was walking along, I started thinking of this Dr. Patel, famous conversations in 1974. I wasn't there, but I've heard the tapes hundreds of times. A recorded conversation of Dr. Patel, right? Dr. Patel, some Gujarati doctor or something. And every morning he would meet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would say, oh, here's Dr. Patel. And they would argue this point that, well, Swamiji, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvadharma Pratyaja. But what does this mean? Prabhupada said, you don't know. Listen. So this Juhu Beach is very special. So this section here, in the art of chanting. This is a yoga technique for concentration, which is very powerful, and I would suggest that everyone hear this technique and try to apply it. And it's not easy, but if you can master this technique, you'll see amazing how your powers of concentration can increase like 1,000-fold. This is a secret from the yoga, because we studied yoga when we were a teenager. Unfortunately, we got saved and found out about bhakti yoga. Yogis generally concentrate on one of the 7 chakras, subtle energy centers situated within the human system. The 6th chakra is known as the Ajna chakra. This particular chakra is the seat of the mind during the waking state. In other words, when we're awake, the mind is seated there. The Ajna chakra is also known as Trikuti. In English, we would say the third eye, or the eye of wisdom. This chakra lies in the space between the 2 eyebrows, a finger breadth above the bridge of the nose in the center of the forehead. So now everyone try to locate that. These are your eyebrows. These are the interesting word, brow. In English, brow. In Sanskrit, it's bru. It says in Gita, madhya bru. Bhru means eyebrow. We say brow, they say bru. Krishna's talking about yoga in the 5th chapter of Gita. The yogis, Krishna's talking about the Ajna chakra. They stare. Well, he says they stare and they fix their attention between their eyebrows. That's here also, later on. So this is the space between the 2 eyebrows. This is the bridge of the nose, right? You know, the bridge of the nose. And this one finger. This is one finger. This one finger breadth. You know, this is the width of one finger. So it's right here. It's basically where ladies put their bindi. And that was all. It's very interesting. Vedic culture, I mean, everyone's so-called modern, which is actually primitive. Modern is the way they spell primitive now. What you call modern is actually very primitive. Because now, if ladies wear any kind of bindi at all, which is unusual, it's only in some special formal occasion where there's high pressure from others, high pressure from other people, then a lady will wear a bindi. What kind of bindi? A sticky bindi. They get from the market. They take them off and stick it. But originally, bindi, the putting on the bindi, of course, is a sign of a married woman. Has a lot of other significances, but the most important thing in terms of psychic energy was that every time the lady put the bindi was supposed to be put on with the shani finger, right? This is shani. And the bindi was put on, they would press the third eye, called the third eye. Like you see posters of Shiva? You seen Lord Shiva? He's called Trilochan. Another name for Shiva is Trilochan. He has 1 eye, 2 eye, and 3 eye. They even draw an eye there. You must have seen. That is the eye of enlightenment. The eye of meditation. So a lady, the bindi was put, she was supposed to put the bindi exactly where the third eye is, and supposed to press there with her finger. Now she just like that with that sticky thing. And there's no pressure there. But when she presses, it actually stimulates that third eye. And this is what increases the power of a woman's intuition. There's a word called intuition. Intuition. They often have the phrase women's intuition, even in the West. They don't know how or why. Women's intuition, that husband and wife are going somewhere on a vacation, the car is packed, the tickets are booked, and the hotel is booked, and everything's ready. Then the wife is about to get in the car, and she says, "I feel very funny. Something's very funny in my mind. I think we shouldn't go on this trip. We should go tomorrow." There's a very strong feeling. Husband says, "Oh, shut up, get in this car, you know, get in the car, this stupid, you know." You always have all these, look, the tickets are booked, you know, we talk to the Jyotish, it's auspicious time, blah, 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 this, that, even if you're involved with all that, if you've gone that far, which is highly unlikely. But anyway, it's your vacation, everything's booked, and she says, "No, I feel very strongly." So somehow, if a husband is a little submissive, which is also highly unlikely, but if he is, he might say, "All right," especially if he's had experience with his wife's intuition before, then they stay back And then they get the newspaper. That day, that flight was bombed by a terrorist. And if they had been on that flight, then it would have been Haribol. Khatam ho gaya. So this is called women's intuition. They can often get a premonition about some bad thing or even good thing happening before it happens. This is universal. But actually, a lot of it comes from this. Originally, it comes from this Bindi program. And now people... So now ladies think, oh, this is square, this is old-fashioned, this, you know, we don't do this stuff. It's like tilak. Why don't we put tilak in the body? It becomes an armor, it becomes a kavacha. These are 13 weak places of the body, so the tilak is put there. Vishnu is put there in tilak. That was a tilak. It's actually a very deep thing. It's like you see in Mahabharata, they would put all kinds of armor on their body. It was all psychic armor by mantra. The kshatriyas would protect their body by different mantras. I mean, Vedic knowledge is so deep and vast, and most of it's, of course, lost. But even a little bit, a few things that are there are still intact out of custom, have a very strong tradition of tattva knowledge. Why we wear tilak? Where, why, how? What is the backing? What is it all about? What does it do? What is the benefit? Very deep things. And when one knows that, then he's quite keen on following it. But if you just think, oh, it's some ritual, it's only the marks of a Vaishnava, it's superfluous, it's unnecessary, it's superficial, I don't need it, then you minimize all those things due to ignorance and lack of understanding. And then we suffer. That's our misfortune. Well, the ancient seers of the truth, they wanted to give us everything for a peaceful and happy life. So we shouldn't be over too intelligent. So tomorrow we'll find out a little bit more how to take advantage and utilize this Agya Chakra to improve our chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna.